The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parshas Re'eh. However, I'm going to take the liberty this evening to continue the shiur which we started last week on Parshas Ekev, which had to do with Birchas Hamazon, the brocha, which we refer to as benching. And firstly, to which was in last week's Parsha. Firstly, let us just shortly review over a number of the principles that we mentioned in last week's shiur. If someone wants to get a greater elaboration on those principles, you can refer to the tape. We mentioned that this brocha, Birchas Hamazon, is about the only brocha that we find in the Torah, but the only brocha that we find that is min haTorah, from the Torah. The huge majority of brochas, almost all of them, Ruba Kikulan, Amid Rabbonim, the Rabbonim were Mesakin. And the Maral in Perek Yudches of Nesiv Avoido refers to this brocha as the Ikur min haBrochas. It is the greatest of all of the brochas. And then we asked why. Why should it be? And from there we went into because the miracle of Parnosa Shel Adam, physical sustenance for a person, is the greatest of all miracles. The Gemara brings in Psochim and Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph that the miracle of Parnosa Shel Adam is Afilo Kosher Mikriyas Yam Suf. It's a more difficult miracle and greater than the splitting of the sea. Gemara brings it's Godel Min HaGeula. It's a greater miracle than to save a person from a great sorrow, because Yaakov told Yosef and his grandchildren, he said, "Amalach Agol Aisi Mikol Ra." When it came to saving him from all of his great tzoras, he referred to as the angel which HaKadosh Baruch Hu would send. But when he referred to the mezenis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, there it states, Hashem, there he said, Hashem Hareya Osi Me'odi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has shepherded me from my youth. And shepherd means mzenus. That's what the Targum says. The Zon, Osi. This is in Vayichi Memches Tesvov. So we see that when it comes to Geula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to save someone, make a Geula Yeshua for someone, he can send a Malach. But when it comes to mzenus, he has to do this alone. And the reason for this, we explained, is a Gemara at the beginning of Masech Tainus, which states that Gimel Maftoches, three keys, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give over to an angel. But these keys he keeps himself. Chaya, Geshem, Utkiyas HaMesim. Chaya is the opening of the womb. Geshem, the bringing of the rains, which the Gemara refers to there, is inclusive of Mizeinu Shel Adam. And Tkiyas HaMesim, the giving of life to the dead, the rising up of the dead. What do all of these three have in common? Because this is all life-giving. The opening of the womb, the sustenance of a person, and the rising of the dead. Then also the Gemara refers to there that David HaMelech, he wrote in his Tehillim 26 praises. These 26 praises are referred to in one praise. This is referred to as the Halol HaGodol. And there, 26 times he wrote, Ki le'alom chastoi, Odel Hashem ki go, ki tov ki le'alom chastoi. And the Gemara says that the last ones, No sein lechem lechol bosor, and he gives bread to all flesh, ki le'alom chastoi, Odel lekel bashamayim, and praise to Hashem who's in the heavens, ki le'alom chastoi. These refer to Mizei Nesef Shel Adam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feeds the world. And this is last. These are last. because these are the highest, we are working up to them. And there are 26 because 26 is the numerical value of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, the Yud and the He and the Vav and the He. This means that it can come only from Him and His great name. And that's why we mentioned in the Birchus HaMozein, Bavur Shmei HaGodol, because of His great name. See, because of His great name. There specifically. It is for this reason that the Gemara mentions that there are seven things which are concealed from a person. And one of them is any yodea me'eisa mokum yistaker. He will never know where he will succeed in making his panosa from. Now this is tested. There are so many deals that people transact and they go sour. And there are other deals that they transact and they're successful. There's so many times that a person works very, very hard and makes very little on it, and all of a sudden money comes from places he never suspected. In other words, this is beyond his greatest comprehension. And the reason for it is it's coming from a mokum elyon. It's coming from such a great height that the Gemara mentions one of the seven things that a person will never know where it's coming from is any yedea me'eisa mokum yistaker, is the mezainis. We also made mention that in the Birchus HaMozein we mention consistently a expressions which are kol el hakol, all encompassing. For example, umefanes lakol, umechin mozen lechol b'yosov. He gives mezainis to everyone. Mechin mozen lechol b'yosov. He prepares mozen for all of his creations. And this we find consistently. And this refers to the greatness of the miracle, because nobody is excluded from this miracle, because there is not one of his creations that does not receive physical sustenance from him. This is not something which is limited to man or to one type of person or to one type of nation. It's not something which is limited to one type of animal or to fish or to birds, but it encompasses all living beings, whether it's a person or whether it's a reptile or whether it's something at the bottom of the sea or even vegetation. To all of his creations he is constantly giving sustenance to. And we mentioned that this was part of creation, just like only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he created the world with his great name, B'yei Ma'asei Hashem Elokim. And part and parcel of the creation was to sustain the creation. So therefore this is what we are referring to. But there's even more, and that is there's two more points on this. Firstly, the mezainis that he gives to each type of creation is different from the other. It's not like someone that perhaps would just throw out some food in front of everyone and it would be all the same. But every creation needs different food. So therefore he prepares the particular food for the particular species that they need. Which he has created. But then the moral goes even further. Even for the person himself or for the creation itself, it's not the same mozain all of the time. What a person eats in the morning, he doesn't eat in the evening. What he eats in the evening, he doesn't eat in the morning. What he eats in the cold weather, he doesn't eat in the hot weather. What he eats in the hot weather, he doesn't eat in the cold weather. In the cold weather, he likes a hot cup of tea. Hot weather, he likes a cold glass of water. And so forth. What he eats in his youth, what is good for young people, the Gemara brings, is not necessarily good for older people. What's good for older people is not necessarily good for younger people. What a person eats when he's healthy needs a special diet when he's sick. And the same vice versa. So this all goes into the umechin moza in the chol b'yoysov. Not only no one is excluded from this miracle, not one creation in the entire world, but each creation receives the type of sustenance that miraculously is the best for him, perfect for him, at the particular time when he needs it. And this is also why it is written, Hazon es olam kulay, he gives this to the entire world, bituvoy. Now why does he do this? This is from his tuvoy, from his goodness. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mokar HaTev. He is the source of all goodness. So therefore, he gives to everyone. Bechein u'bechesed v'rachamim. We say in the Benchim, in the first paragraph, Bechein u'bechesed v'rachamim. Chein means I suppose we would translate chein here. He bechein to those that he is so happy to give to. Like it states, "Benayach motzo chein be'inov." Noach gladdened HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. He found great favor in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. So he gives bechein, bechesed. Chesed means he gives with loving kindliness. Berachamim means that he gives with compassion. But I'll say this is referring to three different types of people. There are the tzaddikim, those that walk in his path. And he wants to give to them, so he gives to them b'chein. There are those that do not walk in his path. But generally a king will hand out gifts to those that listen to him, but not that those do not listen to him. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives mezainus also to the Rishoyim, to those that do not listen to him. But that's his chesed. That's his loving kindness for all of his creations. And then Berachamim refers to those Berachamim refers to those that have no das, they have no knowledge either way. For example, if you take children, babies and so forth. So there he gives to them, not because of what they do or not because of what they do not do, because of compassion. So even in the way that he gives, it's Bechein or Bechesed or Berachamim. Incidentally, we see there are no limitations. And, like it states, Bituvoy, because of his goodness. Mm-hmm. And like Dovid HaMelech said, Ki Le'olam Chastoy, that his goodness and his kindliness is never ending. So the Maral writes on this. This means that he wants to give to everyone. We only have to ask him. We have to show that we want what he has to give. When we do not ask him, when we do not come and our Sheil Tzorchov, we ask our needs from him, then it's ki'ilu mare es atzmeinu. It's as if we are showing ourselves that we are not interested in what he has to give. So then he withholds it. It's brought that the ikar hatfilo, the in tfilo, when it comes to prayer, there are a number of principles. But the greatest principle is to be sheil tzorchov, to be mevakesh, to ask from him what one needs. And this is how the Chazal, the sages, structured the tefillah. If we do not ask what we need, and with our full hearts, so then we are showing ourselves as if we don't want what he has to give to us. So it's not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is short-handed, or it's not because he's holding back. It's because we are showing we do not want his brocha, and therefore we distance ourselves from his brocha. Because his brocha is endless, and like we see from Parnosa Shalom, he has enough Parnosa to give to every creation in the entire world, and every type of Parnosa that that person needs, and that's Tom Mead all of the time. The Gemara goes further, and the Gemara says, in Paragimu Shal Ochlu, that's in Baruchas Memches Amad Beis, it says, Tana Rabon, Meisha Tikin Li Yisrael Birchas Azon, B'shoshi Yored Lehem Amon. Moshe is the one who wrote the first Barucha. If we look in the benching, we'll see that there are three Baruchas. Three brachas till we come to the fourth one about Teva Metiv. Now these three brachas, the Gemara says, the first one that ends with Hazones HaKol, Baruch Ato Hashem Hazones HaKol, says that one Meshem was Mesakin. He wrote that. The second bracha, which starts Neidei Lecha Hashem Elokeinu, and it ends Alodes V'Alamoson, Baruch Ato Hashem Alodes V'Alamoson, that Yeshua wrote. The third bracha, which starts Rachim Hashem Elokeinu Yisrael Amecha V'Yishalayim Erecha, and it ends Bonei Yishalayim, that one David Ushlem HaMelech wrote. Now, Gemara says, Meisha Tiken Liyisrael Birchis Azon. Moshe is the one who enacted and he wrote the script for the Birchas Hazon. Now this that we said that this is a brocha min haTorah. So what does it mean Moshe wrote it? It means that the Torah was mechayev, obligated us to make the brocha. And also from the psukim the Chazal learn out what has to be in the brocha. But the actual script of the brocha, the first brocha Moshe wrote. When did he write this? B'shosh yored lehem amon. When we were in the desert for 40 years and we lived off the mon, that's when Moshe wrote this brocha. Yeshua tiken lehem birchas ha'oretz. Yeshua wrote the second brocha. Now the second brocha is basically on Eretz Yisrael. The first bracha refers to the Mezeinus Shalodom. The second one, Neide Lecha Hashem Lekeinu, Hashin Chalta Lavisenu, Eretz Chem De Teva Rochola, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us such a wonderful and good land. That Yeshua wrote, Kivan Shenichnas La'aretz, as they were going into Eretz Yisrael. Dovru Shloma, Tikno lehem bonei Yushalayim. David and Shlema Melech, they wrote together the third bracha of bonei Yushalayim. Bonei Yushalayim is what starts from Racheinu Hashem Elokeinu until Uvnei Yushalayim Mirakodesh, bonei Barachom of Yushalayim Amen. The Gemara says that David tikin al Yisrael al Yishalayim Yerecho. David was mesakin in regards to Yisrael and Yishalayim, and Shlema was mesakin al Abayis HaGadol VaKadosh. These are the three brachas, and these three the Gemara learns out from the Torah. The fourth bracha, which is HaTov HaMeitiv, it's referred to, that is Midrabonan. There the Gemara says that was Atov HaMeitiv B'Yavne Tiknu. That was Mesukin by Chachma Yavne. Yavne, after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, so one of the places which was saved was Yavne v'Chachomehom, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, and all the Chachomim, most of the Chachomim went to Yavne, and there was great yeshiva in the Beis Din. So there, they were Masakein Hatov Ametiv. When the Omer Masna Eseyem Shenitnu Haruge Beitar Lekfura, because when Beitar was destroyed, there were many it was an enormous tragedy, and many were killed. And the Romans won't allow Israel to bury the dead. Finally, one day they allowed them to. So Tiknu B'Yavne Hatev Mametiv. They were Masakin Hatev Mametiv, this bracha. And when we ever say Hatov Mametiv, that's on a double simcha, on a double goodness. So what was the double goodness? Hatev Shle Yisrichu Mametiv Shenitin L'Kfura. A Tov that they no longer would would rot, and Mametiv that we could now bury them. And then the Harachamons are Tachnunim, these are She'elos, what we ask for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's further, but that these were further additions that were later enacted, that later became part of the Benshin. Your brachas min HaTorah, though, as mentioned, were the first three. Now each one enacted these brachas in accordance to himself, in accordance to what he saw. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the king, and he was the great leader of Klal Yisrael. And it's the responsibility of the king to be Mefanes HaSom. He has to see that the nation has sustenance. When there's not enough food around, people come, and they have every right to come to the king. But things are not in order. And the Gemara brings, it was B'schus Meisha Rabbeinu Yodu Amon. It was through the schus of Meisha that the Mon came down for 40 years in the desert. So Moshe was the one that was Mesaking the first Brocha, Birchas Azon, the Brocha Amazenus. Now this Brocha was Amazenus, was a bracha which was given to all the world, like we mentioned. Nobody was excluded from it. And perhaps it was very proper that Moshe should be the one to be Mesakein in this bracha, because he was the all-encompassing individual. States that he was equal to the 600,000 that came out of Mitzrayim. Kula Keneged Shishim Raboah. He was the one that could bring down the Torah and encompass the entire Torah. So perhaps it was very proper for him to be Mesakein such a brocha. Now there were three brochas in this vein, though, that were given to Klal Yisrael. First of all, the first one, Birchas Hazon, and that was all encompassing. But then there were two more that were given to Yisrael, that were given individually to Klal Yisrael. And that was Eretz Yisrael and Beis HaMikdosh. When the land was conquered, or being conquered, they enacted the Brocha on Eretz Yisrael. And that's the second Brocha. No delecho, Hashem Elokeinu, Ashin Chalte Lavesenu Eretz Chemda Teva Rochovo. We thank you, Hashem Elokeinu, that you have given to us such a wonderful, wonderful land. Who was the one to do this? None other. It was the most proper for Yeshua. Because Yeshua was Habiba Me'ed Eretz Yisrael, very dear to him, Eretz Yisrael, and he was the one that was Kevish HaSoretz. He conquered the land. Then, when it came further, the conquering or the building of Yerushalayim and the building of the Beis HaMikdash, so this was left to David and Shlomo. David HaMelech, as we see continually in this Tehillim, It's always, always speaking about Yerushalayim. Always. See? Yerushalayim, it's Yerushal David. And he wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, but this was left for his son, Shlema HaMelech. So they enacted the third bracha. And that is the bracha al Yerushalayim Yerecho ve'al Tzion Mishkan Kvidecho. And it ends with Bona Yerushalayim. Now, what do these two brachas have to do with Benchin, though? You were talking about Benchin. Benchin is on Mizenes of Shalodim. What does Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim have to do with it? So not the Chazal tell us it has much to do with it. Because the bracha Shlema, the complete bracha, a physical sustenance can only come to the world and does only come to the world through Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdosh. We had in last week's Parsha, right at the end of last week's Parsha, where the Torah, where Hashem is talking to us on the Milas of Oretz. So it states, this is in Ekev Yud Alav Posuk Yud Beis, Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecho Deirish Eso. Tomid Einei Hashem Elokecho Bo Mereishis Hashona V'Arachris Hashona. This is a land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu seeks. His eyes are always on this land from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So the Chazal ask, what does it mean he seeks? Lireis Mahit Tzorcheho. Chadish Begzeris Itim. To see what her needs are. To care for her. So then they ask further. Vahalekolo aratzois hu deirish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of everything. He takes care of all lands. He has to look after all lands to see what they need and to care for them. So what does it mean? Eretz asher Hashem elokecho deirish esoi. It's as if that he only comes to seek what Eretz Yisrael needs. While doing that, then he looks also at the other lands. The Medrash gives a mashal, a parable. It's like a king who has many, many vineyards, but he doesn't bother to go see them. He leaves them to other people to take care of. He leaves them to his servants. He's got other things to do. But he's got one very, very special one that's very dear to him. So that one he goes out to see himself. While he's there, and he goes out to see it, so all of the vineyards that he has to pass by, and those that he has in the vicinity, there he sees also, he takes a look also to see what has to be done. So the bracha can only come through Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the land, al oretz. This is in the pasuk, v'chalt v'sevot v'erachtes Hashem elokecha al oretz. Then, further, the Beis HaMikdosh. Today we live without a bracha shlema, without full bracha. And that's because of the Churban Beis HaMikdosh. And because we are Golos. The Gemara brings in Saita, at the end of Masechta Saita, Daf Memches Omer Aleph, Miyom Shechora Beis HaMikdash Poska Brocha Mina Olam. From the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there was no more Brocha in the world. The Gemara there, the Braiser, the Mishnah, the Braises, the Gemara lists off all kinds of things that we don't have. It says, Nitl Tam Peres. No matter how wonderful a fruit you can have, it doesn't have the perfect taste that it had during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen Rabbis and so on and so on. Because Bracha came only through the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara brings in Gittin in the Sugi of Kamtzal Kamtzo that if Ilu Yoda, Yodu, Ha'umaisa Elum, if the nations of the world knew just what the Beis HaMikdash was doing for them, then not only they wouldn't have destroyed it, but they would have built it with gold. They would have brought gold overlay for it. So therefore the bracha comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Beis HaMikdash, through Eretz Yisrael, down to the world. And therefore when we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Mozain, we thank him for the Mozain, for Eretz Yisrael, we praise him for the Beis HaMikdash. if you notice that the nusach, the script that we say today in the third bracha, which refers to Yerushalayim and Beis Hamikdash, is really a script of not so much praise, but more of a tachnunim. It states, Rachem no Hashem Elokeinu. Because Baruch Hu should have rachmonos on us, and on Yerushalayim, and on Sion, and Malchus Beis David, and Beis HaGodol VaHakadosh. That's because that was changed, the script was changed when we went into Golus. That now instead of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu and praising Him for all the brocha that Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash is bringing us, we have to change and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He should quickly, speedily rebuild Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. And then also we mentioned here that He should give us parnosa, and He should relieve us from all of our tzoros, and we shouldn't have to have matonos and loans from other people, and so forth and so on. That's also because now that we're in the Golus, and we don't have Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, so now poska brocha, the brocha has gone away, and this is why we have this source. And that's why we Messiah, we conclude bonei brachem on Yerushalayim amen, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should rebuild the Yerushalayim and included in this is the Beis HaMikdash. The one of the major sources that we find in the Torah of Mezeinu Shelodim is by the Mon. And there are many principles that we can learn from the Mon when it comes to the sustenance of a person. Let's just take a look. If we go to Parshas Bishalach, Perek Tes Zayin, that's in Shmos, Perek Tes Zayin, Posuk Yud Dalet. Now we lived with the Mon for 40 years. And because of that, this was ingrained in Klal Yisrael. The Mon and its principles. It states, Vatal Shikva Satol Vihinea Upenea Midbo Dak Mechuspos Dak Kakfor Ala Oretz. They found one morning that when the dew came down, and the dew then went up, in the morning it went up, there was something that was small, and it shined. Vayiru b'nei Yisrael vayemru ish alohi monhu. And each one didn't know what it was, but they said, mon. And they said, something to eat. And they came to Moshe, and he said, hu alechem asher nosan Hashem lachem l'ochlo. This is the bread which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you to eat. Zeh hadover asher tziva Hashem. And this is what Hashem has commanded. Liktu mimenu ish lefi ochlei. Every person should go and gather up enough for himself. Omer lagulgeles mispar nafshesechem ish lasheb olei tikochu. How much is enough for himself? There's a sheer omer. That omer, that's is what he should gather for himself. An omer per person. And then in accordance to how many people he has at home. If he has five people, then five omers. 10 people, then 10. Vayasu kem b'nei Yisrael vayilkatu hamar beva mamit. So they did this, and they gathered up hamar beva hamamit. Some gathered more, and some gathered less. Vayamodu v'aymer v'lehadif hamar beva hamamit lehexir. When they got home, they measured it. And those that gathered more found out that there was not more than an omer per person. And those that gathered less found out that there was not less than an omer per person. Ish lefi ochlei lokotu. They found out that they had, no matter how much they took, When they got home, there was enough for each person. Then Moshe gave them another tzivui, another command. The first one was, is you were supposed to take as much that was for each person, an omer, and those that didn't listen, they found out it didn't help. Another command, you are not to leave over for tomorrow. Again, and some left over till the next day. Rashi brings this was Dosen Vaviram. Bayorum Toloim Bayivash. And the next day it had already rotted. Moshe became angry at them. So everyone would go out every morning and he would gather enough for each person in his home to eat. This was enough for two major meals, morning and evening. And then the dew, when the sun would become hot, the dew would rise, it would melt, and the mon also would melt. When it was on the sixth day, Friday, they went and they gathered the same amount, but when they came home, they found out that that amount had doubled. And the Nesim, the princes of each tribe, came to Moshe and they asked him, what's happening? This is the Shabbos which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you tomorrow. Therefore, today, what you want to bake for today, bake. What you want to cook for today, cook. All of your preparations you have to do today. It's called a day, and then you eat whatever you need for Friday. It's called a day hanichu lechem lemishmeres ad boker. And then everything that's left over that you don't need for today, you leave for tomorrow. And they left it over for the next day, and it didn't. They told Moshe, you leave it over, it'll spoil. It didn't spoil, it didn't rot. And then Moshe said, today is Shabbos, eat it. They were afraid, Rashi says, they were afraid that they didn't find, there was, that he told them, today is Shabbos, leisim tzo'uhu basode, you will not find it in the field. They were afraid that it disappeared. He said, don't worry, eat whatever you want today, it's Shabbos, and you won't find anything in the field. 6 days you'll gather. Shabbos it won't be. And don't even go out there. And don't worry. On Sunday it'll be there again. The nation rested on the seventh day. And then it states they called this Mon. And it had wonderful timing, wonderful tastes. Rashi brings that when it melted, it went into the streams. And all of the wonderful tastes went into the streams of water. And the deer, the antelope, would eat, would drink the water. And these tastes would go into their flesh. And when the Umas Ha'elam, the nations of the world, would come and hunt the deer, and then they would eat the deer, they would taste this taste. And from here they would see the greatness of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Torah brings, take this mon and take an omer of it and set it aside for the generations in order that the later generations can see the mon which I have fed Klal Yisrael, Hashem fed Klal Yisrael, in the desert when you went out of Egypt. So, take a container and a bottle or a container and send Shomam le'em mon and put in it an omer full of mon. And this should be placed lifnei Hashem, Mishkan, for forever. And this is what they did. And then May Israel ate this man for 40 years. Arbaim al eretz neshoves. As a man ochlu arbaim al ksei eretz kanoan. They ate this man until they came to the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. The Omer was asiris eifahu. The sheer Omer, the amount of the Omer was a tenth of an eifah. Now, there's a number, many things we can learn from the man. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to learn from the man. And this is why he said, you take it, set it aside so the later generations can see. But we'll just list off a few. That firstly, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Mazenus, he gives enough for each person. And naturally they had to go out and collect it. And they had to go out, collect it, and do a little work. But too much work didn't help. If they overworked and they took in more than the amount, it still was an Eimer Lagulgulis. It was still an Eimer for each person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not hold back the proper mazein for each person. Secondly, we see that the great bitochen, the great trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed the people here, that not only the one that took too much didn't gain by it, and the one that took too little didn't lose by it, but he gave them enough and they didn't have to worry what's going to be the next day, what's going to be the next day, what's going to be 5 years from now, what's going to be 10 years from now. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, use what you have today, I'll give you more tomorrow. Another thing he mentioned, we see here, you know, the nations of the world are very concerned of what they call overpopulation. Too many people are not good, because they'll eat everything up and there won't be enough left for us to eat. So they're always concerned. Too many people are not good, they'll consume everything in the world and what will be left for us? So they try to diminish population in every possible way, right? Even ad shfichas domim, even to killing people off. There are countries that actually, there's abortions, millions of it going on a year, and there's actually killing of babies because of overpopulation. Kodesh Baruch Hu can take care of his people. Here, no matter, you know, a person would say, look, I... three in the family sufficient, four or five, how will I support him? 10, how I will support him? Here, whatever he had in his home, Kodesh Baruch Hu supported him. He said, take whatever you need for each person. Didn't say that the smaller families made more money and the larger families made less money. It's another principle. Another principle that we hear from here is that in the marketplace, the general attitude, especially of the non-Jew, when it comes to the marketplace, is this person is trying to take what's mine. I got to get out there so the other person doesn't take it away from me. We see here, no matter how much one took for his own home, in no way did he affect the other. And how much the other took for his own home, in no way did he affect him. Right? Each one was told to gather as much as he needs for his home, and we see that Amarbe, the one who took more didn't affect anyone, and the one who took less didn't affect anyone. And the Chazal tell us, a person who makes more is not going to affect your panosa. Both will decrease what is your mezainus, and that's what you'll get. And it has nothing to do with how much or how less the next fellow is going to make. We see something else also. This is not for the nations of the world, but this is for Klal Yisrael. How many people say, look, I can't close on Shabbos. Because if I close on Shabbos, I lose my panosa. Yet here, Kodesh Baruch Hu told them, even though that the next day it'll rot, but when it comes to Shabbos, it won't rot. So collect on Friday, and you don't have to worry. It'll stay till Shabbos. So firstly, we see they didn't lose any mosa, they didn't lose any panosa by not going out on Shabbos. But we see even more. Because they kept the Shabbos, it brought double brocha to them on Friday. Not only did they have to, you might think that their portion for Friday, they'll have to cut in half. And they'll only be able to eat half on Friday, and they'll have to leave over half for Shabbos. Now, and there was a double miracle. I think one miracle is that they could leave over for Shabbos, you see. Because you could never leave over for the next day. We see a double miracle. That not only could they leave over for Shabbos, but what they brought in on Friday doubled. So there was enough for Friday and there was enough for Shabbos. Shabbos brought brocha to the whole week. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to learn. These principles in Panosa. Because this is why he said, take a bottle and put it in there and keep it forever to show Klal Yisrael. What is this principle though? The principle is that the Mozein is coming from Hashem. That's the underlying principle. It's coming from Hashem, and he's the Mefanesh Kol Chai, and we only have to do what he tells us to do. It's not coming from the ground. It's not coming from the sea. It's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the way he wants it to come. I could imagine if one was a kefir, he'd have great problems with panosa. If one was an ecologist, or if one was an evolutionist, he'd have great problems with panosa, because he sees the next guy eating so much. He says, look, you're taking everything away, what's going to be left for me? He'll have great problems. But if one realizes that all of the Moslem, he's the Mefanes Kol Chai, Bavur Shmei HaGodol, was it possible for Shmei HaGodol, his great name, to run out? Even gives panosa to the Rishoyim. If he created the world, he cannot sustain them. So how's it possible to run out? He makes the decrees. And this is what we were to learn from here. And we mentioned this last week, that it's said at the beginning of Akev also, it states Ki, this is in Pasuk Gimel. Perches ki lo al lechem levado yichyodim ki al kol meitzifi Hashem yichyodim. Person doesn't live on the bread alone, but he lives on the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reb Chaim Volozhiner would say, doesn't mean his external decree. His internal decree, that he decreed that the bread should sustain you. Ki lo alechem levadoi yichyodim, ki am kol meitzifi Hashem yichyodim. The bread is a shell. Just like a person has a guf and a neshama, a body and a soul, the bread also has a body and a soul. The bread is the physical bread that we know. That alone cannot sustain a person. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that it should sustain the person, and he put into the bread, Meitzi Piv, a ruach, his breath into the bread. Just like he created man as a body, Vayiprach Ba'apav Nishmas Chaim, when he blew into his nostrils his spirit, so did he do with the bread. Ki lo al alechem levado yichya odem, ki al kol meitzi fi Hashem yichya odem. And what he put into the bread, so now it's a body and a soul, and it can sustain the person. And this is the miracle. We see even further that is brought in the Meforshim, and it's actually brought in Shulchan Aruch, that it says that when we say Maflia Lasos, it is a great miracle with bread, which is something beyond understanding. Bread is physical, so it should sustain a person physically. But at the same time, we see it sustains the person mentally and spiritually. Because if a person would need physical sustenance, good. But what about for his brain? For that, he should need some mental sustenance. What about his emotions? He should need some emotional sustenance. What about his spirit? He should need some spiritual sustenance. But we see none like that. We see if a person starves himself. See, he deteriorates at every facet. If he eats a good meal, he's strengthened at every facet. Eats a good meal, he can understand a piece of Gemara. There's a Gemara that brings Lo Achalti Bisra Hayem. It was one of the Amoraim. They asked him a question. He says, I didn't eat my meat today. I can't answer the question. You see. So how can this do this? So this is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the bread, not only physical bread, like the evolutionists might like to think, but he blew into it his own spirit also. Naturally, not like the spirit that he blew into the person, but that will sustain him altogether. And that's the maflia lasis that we say in the barocha. That's the pella. We cannot comprehend that. So this all goes into the miracle of bread. And therefore, the benching, the birchas hamazon, has to be appropriate to it. Now, one final point. It says that what we bench on, it brings the brochers in Parshas Ekev, and it says, Eretz Chitos Ora, mentioned seven, this is on Posuk Ches, boring Ches, Posuk Ches, mentioned seven different types of grains and fruit. Eretz Chito Usaora, the first two are the wheat and the barley. Actually, the wheat and the barley, the Gemara brings are really five grains. But the five grains are subspecies of these two. It includes oats and rye and spelt. So this is the, and besides Chito Seora, which is wheat and barley. Then it mentions Gefen, Se'eno, Verimain. That's the wine, the date, and the pomegranate. And then Zei Shemen Udvosh, excuse me, the olive oil. The reason why it mentions the olive oil, because the Gemara says is that the main purpose of the olive is not for the olive itself, but it's oil. And Udvosh. Dvosh here, which means honey, is not referring to the honey of bees, it's referring to the honey of tamarim, to the date honey. Actually, in their days, the main type of sweetener, sugar, that they had sugar also, but still, the main type of sugar was used was the dvosh, was the honey from the tamarim, from the dates. Now, The Maral says there's three types of foods here. It says when it comes to the chit and the seora, the wheat and the barley, and the subspecies that we mentioned, and this is what makes lechem, bread, or baked, whatever would be baked from these grains. So this is the staples of man. Man cannot live without this. Lechem yisot. Soed means which gives a person strength. So Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us what we must have. Then it states another group here. It's not necessarily in the order, but it states another group, which is the yain and the shemen. Now the yain and the shemen, look, we can live without wine, and we can live without olive oil. But there is still a very good need for them, because it says yain yisamach levav enosh. Wine brings simcha to the person. The world needs simcha. It says, as a Gemara that says, le nibra yain el resameach levo avelim. Wine was created to bring simcha to the avelim. There's a chuvas mashal that he brings, that he says, how can one be misameach at a simcha shel mitzvah in the golus with all of our tzoros without yain? See? So yain is very, very important. Alright? And then shemen. Moshe shemen tatzil. Shemen, we don't use it too much today, although we use all different types of lotions. But shemen was considered the best lotion, it still is the best lotion. Besides, today they're finding out all kind of miracles with shemen, with olive oil, as far as eating is concerned. The Gemara brings that the olive oil had three purposes. One was l'eira, it was the best light, shemen's eyes. And one was, it was the olive oil was the best la'achila. Today they're finding out all kind of miracles in the olive oil when it comes to nutrition. And the other is that it's used sicho, to massage a person with, on the skin. So Shlomo HaMelech wrote, David HaMelech wrote, Shemen Tatzil, brings light to the person. So therefore, these are, look, if we had to, we could live without them. But they elevate our life to the point where they make it a much finer life. So not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us our bare necessities, could have given us bread and that was it, but shemen and yain also. All right? Then he gave us a third category. What was the third category? That was rimain, te'ena, and devash. The pomegranate, the fig, and the honey from the date. Now what is that needed for? That a person doesn't really need. So what does it come for? Maral says that comes litanugim. That is a tainug. That's a luxury. Before the meal, sometimes they would like to eat something sweet. This was before the meal was being served, or between a meal, or at the end of the meal. So that was coming for a luxury. So he says, you want to see the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given us the basic staples, and we have been very healthy. He added to that, so our life should be a much finer life. So he gave us the shemen tatzil and the yain yisamach levav emesh, the wine and the oil. But even added to that, where we should have even luxury also, and that was all of these sweet fruits. And that's why it states, v'ochalto v'sevoto. Through this is an entire sphere. Not only is there eating, but there's an entire satisfaction. And therefore, verachto, we must bless him. Just to intertwine a bit, to tie these sedras together, because this week is Parshas Re'eh, The A starts out by saying that I place before you, I place before you brocha uklolo. Now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Bechalta v'savota v'erachta, he gave us this to eat and this to be satisfied with. Sphia, total satisfaction, can be from the greatest brachas, because that brings a person to praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it can be from the greatest dangers. If we look in Akev just a little further, in Pasuk Yud Beis, it states, Pentechal v'savota uvotim tevis tivne v'yoshofta, lest you eat and you be satisfied and you build yourself beautiful homes. And you have so much cattle and sheep and silver and gold, you will increase. And you will increase so much. And you'll become arrogant. And you will forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you will say that all of this is mine. You will forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you and took you out of Egypt. Gemara says, Ein Adam Meirid Ela Mitek Sphia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when a person has a father that's supporting him, and he has to keep writing letters to him, need more money, he never forgets the father's address. But once he becomes wealthy himself, then you'll find that he doesn't have time to write anymore. He's too busy. And he doesn't have time to visit anymore. So, Ein Adam Meirid Ela Mitek Sphia. When a person needs someone else, he doesn't forget him, he doesn't rebel against him. But when he has plenty, and he forgets that, then it becomes too much. So, Sphia, V'achalta V'savota, can be either a brocha or a klola. And how many people do we know? When they were poor, they were, the Chofetz Chaim used to say on someone, when you were poor, you used to come into shul all of the time. For Shachris, Mincha, Marav used to be in the Beis HaMedrash to learn. And now you're wealthy, we never see you anymore. He says, I'm busy. Well, this is what it's saying. You don't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore. And you forget about him. So that's what it states here. You shall see, I am placing before you brocha uklola. Whatever we have, from there can be made a brocha, the greatest brocha, or heaven forbid, the greatest klola. So therefore, by appreciating what we have, and the greatest appreciation what we have, is through the birchas hamazon, we can make from all of this brocha.
The Yeshiva Gedolah hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.